Yeah, no, I totally know I could be alone forever, but like, I don't want to be alone forever. So like, I want to incorporate you into my life in so many ways that like, I feel like this is a partnership and a team, and we can both, you know, do our own things, but we also both want to come together and do things together. But I think that it's hard to learn with the independent and like, you know, goal oriented and kind of knowing what you see for yourself. I have a hard time not trying to impress that on other people.
What's up, you guys, and welcome to In the Backseat. Today, I have my friend Carissa on. Before we get into our conversation, I want to do a few things. First, I want to say thank you, Carissa. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I can't wait to talk to you again. Carissa's very, very fun to talk to because she's thoughtful and she always has some wisdom to drop on you. So I definitely really enjoyed you. The second thing is Carissa is on a podcast with two of her friends called Help a Brother Out. Taylor was on my podcast a few weeks ago. They are on that together with their friend Terrence, and they have a cool dynamic between them. So definitely check them out on Instagram. They're at Help a Brother Out. And then third, I actually wanted to read a little bit of this Psychology Today thing that I found, because I obviously listen to the podcast through when I'm editing it, and then I kind of like learn something, and I'm realizing I'm still learning big time like what femininity means without compromising who I am, or without making me feel like I am weakening who I am, or, you know, I hate to say it this way, but dumbing down myself. I hate to say it that way, and I don't think that's what I mean, but I'm trying to learn this. So I found this article and I wanted to read just like the beginning of it because I think it explains where I'm coming from, because I don't want to sound like a dick, to be honest. Okay, so it says, I don't know who this is by. It's by Marcia Reynolds. She's a psychologist. It says, can you be feminine, smart, strong, and successful? When I was young, my mother told me it was more important to be smart than feminine. Being feminine meant I was weak. If I were to take care of myself in a world I couldn't trust with men, I couldn't depend on. I needed to be smart, strong, and independent. I assumed this was the opposite of being feminine. Like, you would think that, right? It took me many adult years to allow myself to appreciate clothes that flattered my body and wearing pink nail polish while being smart, strong, and independent in the business world. I still don't know how to cook. I disturb my nest by moving about every 3 years, and my male partner does the grocery shopping. Am I still fighting off my femininity? I don't think so. I think we are in the process of redefining what it means to be a woman in today's world. As women become more self-reliant and self-sufficient, they have more choices. They are free to discover their passion and contribute in ways that feel meaningful for them. I think this is what my mother really wanted for me, because she never got to live out her dreams. She just didn't know we could blend feeling beautiful and feeling accomplished. So we don't have to give Barbie some muscles to go along with her brains. I believe we are past the stage where a woman has to be a man to be successful. Unfortunately, it's not clear yet who a woman should be at work, even when she is being, quote, authentic. Maybe we should encourage young women and men to be who they want to be without defining masculinity and femininity and judging people by their gender. If acceptance and inclusion are feminine qualities, I guess I have a strong feminine tendencies after all. If acceptance and inclusion are feminine qualities, oh, that's cool. And so does my strong bodybuilding male partner. If acceptance and inclusion are feminine qualities, I guess I have a strong feminine tendencies after all. That feels good to me. That feels really good to me. Look, this is a long thing. This is a long article, but I find it to be interesting to read. And I also find it to be like just the beginning of what I want to read about. So where she talks about like wearing pink and all of that stuff. I don't think that's what I'm thinking. Like, I love feminine clothes. I love like lingerie. I love having my nails done. I love getting my hair done. I love celebrating beauty. I work in the beauty industry. I do hair for weddings. There's nothing more that I love than like an aesthetically pleasing pattern for a dress, right? Like, I have no problem embracing, you know, feminine things, tangible physical things, but what I'm talking about is like the strength thing, right? Like the decision making, the goal action oriented type of behavior versus what are those emotional qualities of femininity? What are they, basically? And don't, you know, you can't tell me that it's like, I love that she said inclusion and acceptance are feminine qualities. I'm like 100% love that. That feels really good. A lot of masculine people can gain a lot of of value from adding those two things into their lives. I do think that basically masculinity and femininity, there needs to be a yin and yang balance, right, between the two for everybody. I guess at the end of the day, I mean, life's about balance, they say, right? But this is something that I'm a novice at. Let's just say that. So I'm learning, I'm reading, I'm growing. If you have any books or any suggestions, like, hit me up, let me know. Or if you are a, you know, a feminine expert, get on here and talk to me about it, because I'd be very interested in hearing your perspective and on why femininity doesn't equal weakness. So without further ado, I want to say, Carissa's coming up. I want to say also, we get on a bunch of different topics. So we touch on the masculinity, femininity thing, but then I think we get into a lot of just like relationship dynamics of our own experiences. And it was a very cathartic conversation. So again, thank you, Carissa. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoy it. And yeah, here we go.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up?
Nothing. What's up with you? How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, you know, living, stuck in the house, working.
how are the kids?
They're doing pretty good, actually. They're, you know, the boys are tolerating school to an extent. They're virtual learning. That's, you know, semi-required, but not really.
Yeah. Has that been, like, tough for you? I talked to M. Salmon. I don't know if you heard that one, but I can't imagine having kids right now. It's probably hard, so much hard work.
It's definitely stressful, I think, for them when they get, like, get frustrated with stuff, because getting help is not the same as it normally would be. Mm-hmm. But they do pretty good as far as, like, using the technology and stuff, and, like, being, because their school's using Google Classroom. Mm. So it's all pretty, you know, one platform based. They can get a Google Doc for anything and just take pictures and submit via Google Doc, like, all of their work.
Okay.
It's just a matter of them actually wanting to do the work.
Yeah, man, I never wanted to do work. You know what's kind of really funny, and I put it in the intro because I didn't remember this until yesterday. I completely forgot that we were biology partners freshman year of high school. Do you remember that?
That's crazy. I didn't even, I feel like my memory is like, dude, such a joke one. That mm-hmm. high school is like a blur until somebody brings up something particular, and then I'm like, oh my god, wow, that did happen.
Yeah, I don't, like, remember. I mean, I remembered it literally yesterday because I'm, like, thinking about the conversation that I want to have with you today. And then I was like, what was my first, like, impression of Carissa? And then I was like, wait. I was like, my first impression was literally being your bio partner freshman year.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Which was, like, ages ago at this point.
Yeah. I have a faintest memory. I don't remember anything we learned or anything like that, but.
Right.
Oh, my God. Mm. So wait, so I'm going to come on your podcast.
Yeah. So I was talking to the guys about it yesterday because Taylor was like, oh, are you guys good for Kelsey Wednesday? And I was like, yeah, I'm actually on with her tomorrow. So like, that's cool.
All right, cool. Wait, are we doing Wednesday?
I don't know if that's, I didn't ask details. He just said your name and he said Wednesday and I said, just let me know when.
Okay. I thought we were doing Thursday, but whatever. I can make anything.
That's fine.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. Can you tell me like who you are and, you know, at least what you're doing with the podcast, if that's what you want to do, or give me the synopsis of Carissa.
Yeah. So I'm Carissa. I know you from, as we just realized ages ago in high school. It's kind of weird how like our paths continuously cross, especially with the opening salon and everything. And now diving into this podcast journey together is cool. So the guys I do the podcast with, Taylor and Terrence, they had, you know, kind of gotten into their beginnings of their podcast themselves. And then, I mean, one might say I kind of like pushed my way into it. I'm just close with Taylor. And like, I always am open and giving input and was like,
yeah.
I was on as a guest a few times and just having the female perspective and like me being kind of raw and real about things, they were like, you know what? I feel like this should just be an all the time thing.
Yeah.
And it really just kind of rolled together that way. But it's awesome now. I love it. It's a great time. It's just a good opportunity to have like genuine conversation about things that a lot of times don't get discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And then just having, I feel like we do a lot of relationship topic because there is a female and then male perspective involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens, and then, you know, just a bunch of other real life things. So that's rolling out and ramping up, and it's It's definitely a good time.
I'm having so much fun podcasting. I've already talked to some people the other day, like, after I put things out. They're like, oh my god, this is so cool. Like, I've wanted to do something like this. I'm like, dude, just do it.
Literally, just
like,
do it.
Just do it. It's so much fun. Who the fuck cares? Like, just do it.
And it's so free, and that's the thing. Like, you do what you want. Either, you know, you don't have to become this, like, huge thing. You more so are doing it for yourself and having that, you know, relief, and you know that people are definitely listening. Like, even now, just being, what, I think almost 60 episodes in with them on Help a Brother Out podcast, they continuously get feedback, and it's always, you know, someone will listen to this episode or will push episodes that, you know, certain people might be more interested in based on what we're discussing. And it's just cool to have the interaction and then sit there and be like, people are really listening to us and, you know, giving feedback on what we say. And then it's always funny because I always listen back to them, and a lot of times I'll be like in the car with my kids or whatever, and they're like, wait, is that you? And they get so confused because they're like, wait a second.
Oh, that's cute.
So, like, that's cool, too, where they're like, oh, wow, like, that's my mom.
Yeah, because it's, like, I think you hit the nail on the head as far as I think about it. It's, like, really valuable even if no one listens. And I say, and I've said it before, I'm like, this is more for me than it is for anybody else. I'm just really enjoying myself, you know?
Yep. And then you just get the extra boost when people are like, wow, this is so good, or, like, they really genuinely connect to something that you know, are open enough with yourself to talk about.
Yeah, without a doubt. So
it ends up being super rewarding. It's cool.
Yeah. And I'm definitely, like, I'm excited to come on there. Definitely, like, I know I'm gonna be, I can hold my own, you know? Like,
absolutely.
I think I can hold my own. Taylor was a good episode. It was fun to talk to him.
Yeah, it's always a good time because it's like we kind of push each other. Like, we'll totally, somebody might have one opinion versus another, and it's just like, okay, well, how about I give you this perspective? And it's just a lot of deep, like, interactive conversation, so it gets good.
I want to say too,
and then there's
no, like, as being a female listening, I'm like always waiting for you to talk. I'm like, come on, because I'm like, you're gonna make some sense right now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was good. And then we had my friend Catherine actually came on, and we did, that was, I think, one of my favorite episodes because it was not only me, but then her female perspective, and we weren't always agreeing through the whole thing, and I was like, wow, this is, all right, I like this.
Yeah, and it brings me really to why I wanted to have you come on here. Like, in the intro, I was saying, you know, like, I've always really been drawn to you, like, in a sense of just liking you. You're in a big high school, right? And it's, like,
right.
Some people you like, some people you don't jive with. But I've always been drawn to people that are just, like, authentically them. And,
yes.
Like, strong opinion. I'm, like, I like a open heart, throat chakra, you know? Like,
yes.
I love when people speak their minds because it's, like, you know where you stand no matter which way it is. So I wanted to have you come on so we could talk about something I think that we obviously both understand, which is, well, actually, I feel like I don't understand jack shit about it, so I'm hoping you can, like, help me out. But talk about really, like, masculinity versus femininity, as well as what it means to be, like, a strong, independent woman. All just flip side of the coins. There's no structure here. I really just want to have, like, you know, pick your brain, you pick mine type of thing. Because personally, I feel like I am at this point where I've definitely been diving into my faith, right, and, like, spirituality, and I've also been discovering, like, my femininity again, because I tend to exist in a very masculine type of energy, and I chalk it up to 8 years spent in barbershops and working alongside men and having to deal with men. I've learned, I think, how to, like, dance the dance of men. But I'm I think I'm generalizing when I say men, because masculinity is not reserved for just men, and femininity is not reserved for just women. But I think I've learned how to, like, work that, and I've become rather, I don't know, like, I guess it's masculine. What do you define as masculine versus feminine, I guess, is real my first question.
I mean, I feel like the terms both fall from, like, stereotypical norms. You know, you have your societal, well, men do this and females do that, and that's just how the divide happens between masculinity and femininity. But like you said, they're not actually exclusive to one or the other. Mm-hmm. So I feel the same way in that I've always, lifetime environment-wise, I've always been around more guys than females. Mm-hmm. So between, like, growing up around family, like, I have three brothers, and I was one of, like, three girls out of the 20 cousins that I had that were always together when I was younger, and it was just constant, like, I was always into sports. I was always out digging in the dirt. Like, mm-hmm. I was never, I just birth to present, truest tomboy. Yeah. Never, you know, was the girliest. And then as I got older and, you know, I have the feminine levels in, like, a mothering, but I'm also probably not your standard mom. Like, I'm not the coddling, like, and then there's masculinity in that sense where I'm like, yeah, no, pick yourself up and wipe it off and move on. Like, right, where right. a lot of moms are like, oh no, my baby. Like,
yeah.
So there's, I mean, it's, there's so many different ways you could look at it from the aspect of, you know, strength and independence and getting things done yourself, no matter what it is, whether it falls to something that's a norm for a guy or a girl, like building things or putting stuff together or driving a truck versus a minivan or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. There's so many different variations, and I just feel like I personally fall to a more masculine nature in various ways, mm-hmm. with the parenting and with, you know, I'd rather watch sports than watch reality TV, like, mm-hmm. like little stuff like that. So
mm-hmm. I think, like, in a very different way, like different and similar way, how I've come to be, like, I have one sister, and that's it, but my dad is a rather, like, what you would call, like, a man's man. Like, he's literally golfing right now outside, actually.
Right.
Which is funny. He's literally awesome. Outside of my window collecting golf balls. But we just built this office in the garage. He's working with his hands. He's a blue-collar worker. He's a hard mm-hmm. worker. He coached me in soccer, and he could have been and probably should have been coaching, like, college boys at the time, because he was that intense with it and, like, that... You know, he's very competitive, and he's very results-oriented. He's very, like, right. get it done, do it, make a decision, go. And that's how I am. I'm very much like, do it now. Like, pick yourself up. You're right. Like, make it work, go. Like, the emotion for me is not, like, there's love underneath everything that I do, but I'm not very emotional about it, I think.
Right. So, I can agree with that for myself also.
So what I think I've found, and where I kind of want this direction, you know, this conversation to go to, would end up being about, like, relationships.
Right.
Because that is a mystery to me. are you single?
Yes, okay. I am.
So I am too. And I recently got out of a relationship. Not recently now, but I got out of a relationship that was shy of a year. But I just feel like I get to learn something, because I'm seeing a pattern in my behavior and in my relationships where, like, I have been told that I'm intimidating. I have been told mm-hmm. that, you know, like, I've definitely been told I'm intimidating, but I've also attracted guys that, like, liked my masculinity, I think, my decision-oriented, my strength, my, like, get up, pull your bootstraps up, make it work, like...
Right, then know what you want and get it done side.
Right, but then I find myself feeling like I'm getting the short end of the stick, because I don't want to be somebody's therapist, and I don't want to be somebody's, like, cheerleader 100% of the time. I'm like, where's my support at the end of the day? Where's, like, my equality in this relationship? So I'm like, what do I get to do? How do I tap into femininity without losing? Like, I struggle with, like, tapping into femininity without playing dumb. No offense to the world right. of femininity, but without playing dumb or without, like, changing who I really am. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, it's the trickery of how do you soften your bluntness, almost. Like, you're so forward and you're so supportive of yourself and knowing what you want and what you're kind of looking for. But then also without being aggressive to the point that people aren't interested.
I'm really referencing just my last relationship. I was really attracted to him because he was so, in my head, like, alpha, like, results oriented, like, had his own business, made things happen for himself. I respected him. At the bottom right. of any relationship, I think there has to be respect, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that I was taking on feeling like there wasn't a mutual respect for the way that I was. Like, he admired that I was strong and strong-willed and wanted to make things happen. This was before I opened the business. And mm-hmm. once he saw that my money was where my mouth was, I think he was, like, a little bit and he said he was intimidated by that. And I think that I get to the point where I'm resentful of men in general and I don't want to date because I'm like, dude, take me as I am, strength and all, or don't. Like, your insecurity about my strength and the things that I do is not my issue.
Right, and at the end of the day, in any relationship, like, whether I'm, you know, quote-unquote better than you career-wise or what have you, you should be proud of me and you should be supportive of me. You shouldn't be cowering at the fact that I'm succeeding in what I want to do most with my life. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's always a thing too, especially as a stronger person, is you look for, at least from, I'll say for me, I look for that same strength in men, but what I always end up with is like lacking the men that are lacking the emotional substance. So it's hard to find that balance too, because you need to find a masculine feminine balance in them as well, which, you know, God forbid you ever tell a man that he's feminine in any way, but
yeah,
that's the trick. Like, you have to find the balance of the two in yourself to where as though you can 100% be yourself, and still feed that sort of softer attraction that somebody that you're interested in might have. Mm-hmm. And then also have them provide the humility that would be like, oh wow, like, she might be doing better than me right now, but go her, like, that's good for her. And just supporting and pushing and pressing on you continuing to strive in what you're doing without them, you know, feeling like they're any less because you're succeeding.
Yeah, and I think, like, where my head goes is a relationship needs to be two very separate people in my mind. Like, you have to...
100%.
You know, like, you have to have your own... My priority, I said this morning, me and my mom got in such a conversation, aka argument, but not really.
Right.
about, like, dating, because she asked me about somebody, and I was like, you know, like, whatever. And then she's like, you want to talk about judgmental? You are judgmental. You squash the idea of any man right away, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I hear you. I get it. she, you know, made all these comments, and I'm like, listen, I just feel like my priority right now is, one, my relationship with God, which is in turn my relationship to myself, and I want, right. And all I want is somebody else who has those priorities in order, where their relationship, in my opinion, is their faith or their understanding of who they are in this world and why they are the way they are. And then that creates a healthy relationship within themselves, and then they can have a relationship with somebody else because they're not dependent on me to fill in those voids and those gaps.
Absolutely.
And for the longest time, my ego got the best out of helping and being that therapist for people and being like, you got it, babe, you can do this, you can do anything you put your mind to. I would see the potential in anybody.
Yep.
And then it would work for my ego for a long enough time, but then a switch would go off and be like, wait, you're not getting anything out of this. Like, I'm not feeling supported. What am I getting out of this? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I do want to be led at the end of the day. Like, in my relationship, I feel like I make decisions all day, and I'm in that energy all day. I want to be with somebody who is going to take, quote-unquote, the lead in many ways, I think.
Yes. So I feel like that's, like, I look for the same thing, and I look for someone that's, like, you know, showing the interest and showing the desire, and not always me being like, hey, let's do this, or hey, let's go here, or why don't you come here and do this? And it's like a constant, like, I feel like I'm the only one that's trying type of thing. Mm-hmm. But in the same sense, I'm also the person that I've come to realize through my last relationship, like, I learned a lot. So that was like a little over a year. And it was a lot of me, I think, discovering myself, because I finally was in a good place alone prior to that relationship, after having previously been married and like a history of all this up and down nonsense. And then I finally was in a good place by myself. Like, I had not interacted with anybody in a good year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is great. Like, you know, we were dating here and there for a while, like going this place and that place. And as things pieced together in the beginning, and then as we grew, you know, into who we are now over a year later, it made me realize so much about what I prevent for myself. Because I look for so much of that, like, oh, you know, you come to me, or you suggest this, or you make these plans. And then it's just like, I have to also keep in mind that I need to shut up in order for that to actually happen.
What do you mean?
So I'm always eager to press and to like ask things, and always looking to do things. And I think I look so deeply for like that full circle life situation where I'm like, yeah, no, I totally know I could be alone forever, but like, I don't want to be alone forever. So like, mm-hmm. I want to incorporate you into my life in so many ways that like, I feel like this is a partnership and a team, and we can both, you know, do our own things, but we also both want to come together and do things together. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's hard to learn with the independent and like, you know, goal oriented and kind of knowing what you see for yourself. I have a hard time not trying to impress that on other people.
You mean like you have a hard time not wanting other people to be that way as well?
Right. So like, for instance, like the relationship I just got out of, like he's very much self-oriented, not in a way that like he wouldn't do things for me or you know, do things for my kids or what have you, but it was just like what he needed to do, he did first. Mm-hmm. And not that I didn't do that, but I always managed what I needed to do in a way that I was sure that he could fit in. Mm. And it was always returned in a way that I felt like it was just like, you know, I was just an option at the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, but then in hindsight, I'm like, you know, I really could have just calmed down because what we did have wasn't necessarily bad. I just kind of pushed to the brink of driving myself crazy more than like I you could say that I reacted in a way that he was doing so much wrong, but had I relaxed mm-hmm. in the relationship, I think things would have gone differently.
Mm-hmm. I like
so I learned a lot of, I guess, accountability in my own actions relationship-wise through that whole experience.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, in any relationship is a learning experience. I think, you know, if anybody tries to push relationships out of your mind, you can't do that. You really have to think about and self-reflect and be like, okay, what did I learn from this person, from my behavior, a reaction to this person? So, like,
right.
In a different way, but similar way with my ex, like, there was just this small buildup of, like, insecurity where I felt like he was being insecure about something, and then I would react by shutting off a part of me. And then
right.
Eventually, I'm just, yes, completely have a guard up because I'm going to protect me first. I'm number one all the time in my
absolutely.
Life, you know? And so then he's feeling like I'm not completely open with him, and then that just further makes insecurities worse and worse and worse and worse, because then he feels like he's not getting the full honest me, even though I am with him, you know, I was with him and being honest with him, but I was like, I'm guarding my heart and soul right now, you right. know, and I'm too quick to, I think, not that I'm too quick to do anything, but like, I feel like I just reacted. I don't think I was very conscious about that reaction, and then it was just a really unhealthy, very tumultuous, like, toxic thing we had going on, because there were really high moments of greatness and, like, connection, and then there were these really low moments, and it was like a roller coaster, and I think some people get stuck on that roller coaster, and that becomes kind of, like, the norm, and I'm like, I want a relationship that feels peaceful, and
right.
the only way I think I'm going to get there is to find peacefulness within myself and be totally at ease with whatever level of masculinity I come from or femininity that I come from. And you're right, find somebody I think who balances that in their own way.
Exactly. You kind of have to, you know, meet each other's lows, but not in a seeking way, I guess. Like, it's not that I'm going into this saying you need to do X, Y, and Z to meet me doing X, Y, and Z. It's just something that's just going to flow, and it's going to be a natural exchange of peace and just being on the same page and having a natural understanding. Like mm-hmm. my last relationship, we communicate like no other. Like, we could sit down and talk for hours, mm-hmm. literally hours on end about anything in life. But then my level of openness, because I have learned, like, I've seen so much relationship wise and learned so much about myself, that I'm very open and very honest about how I feel and what made me feel that way, and you know, what I would like to see to curb that feeling, but then get no emotional openness, like, in exchange. And it's just like,
yeah,
then you feel that defeat of like, well, why can't you just tell me how you feel? But in the same sense, understanding that I came from a place where I never used to tell anyone how I felt.
Well, so it's like, I'm in the more beginning stages, I think, of I mean, I've definitely grown a ton in my last relationship, but there was a lot of unspokenness in my relationship before the last relationship because I didn't communicate how I felt efficiently, like effectively. I might react instead with communication to a buildup of resentment and then, like, not a temper tantrum, but a, you know, a big reaction, assuming that this man should know what I'm thinking. And right. It was really nice, like, with my last relationship, there was a big age difference between us, and I think that, not that everybody that's older is wiser, but I do think he had some wisdom to say, I need you, you know, can you communicate, I need you to communicate with me here. Like, please tell me, he would seek me out and be like, please tell me what you're feeling right now. Right. And it was definitely, like, a new experience for me to have to do that, but it also was the reason why we were together for, I guess, as long as we were, because we were working through communicating, which was a great lesson as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not the easiest.
No, definitely not the easiest. I think before my last relationship, I was in a place where I was like, okay, like, great, communication's the key. Like, I know what I want. I'm, you know, I've been through X, Y, and Z, and I'm confident in myself, and, like, I don't need anybody to make me happy, but I want somebody to be involved, and, like, I want to share my life with someone. And then I learned that comprehension goes hand in hand with communication. So I can communicate anything in the world to you, but if there's no actual comprehension or you know, like, attempts action to understand what it is that I'm communicating, then it's just falling to the wind anyway.
Right, like, you can talk all day, all night, and, like, you know, there has to be action afterwards.
Right.
And I definitely think for myself in my last relationship, we did, like, I was, felt like I was at the same place. When I got into that relationship, I felt like I had all this love to give. Like, I was really, for the first time, like, loving myself and feeling so full and, like, I don't need anybody right now, but, like, I would love to have a partner to do this together, to be in this trip together, to cheer each other on and come from that really full place with each other, for each other. And then I met this person and we both just dove in. Like, we had a really good back and forth. We had this, like, quickness to us, you know, and just kind of really jived, like, right away. So I think we both very almost irresponsibly, like, jumped head first in very quickly. Right. And then you start to unravel, you know, like, the different challenges and stuff. And it was just a trip. It was a roller coaster. And that goes to show, like, relationships, I still believe, I know people say it should be easy, but I do still believe they take work.
Oh, they take so much work.
Yeah.
So much work. I mean, yeah, sure, sometimes they start off easy and it just, you know, goes as it goes. But we're literally, as people, male or female, we're constantly still learning about ourselves in a way that forces you to have to constantly be open to learning and adapting to how your partner is growing and who they're growing into be. It's not, you know, if I'm with somebody today and we're still together 10 years from now, like, that's, we're not the same people anymore. Mm-hmm. We may have learned and taught each other how to still be well together, but we're 100% not the same people. It's not, I definitely don't see it as an easy road at all.
I know. I definitely think, like, you know, there's all these polyamorous people and stuff in the world, and, like, that's becoming more and more of a thing, and I totally see, like, the logic behind it being, being a lot simpler, potentially, because monogamy is tough.
Right.
And it is, for better or for worse, and it is, I think, a journey, like, you go, and that's why, like, arranged marriages, I think, like, work, because they go in there knowing they're gonna, I mean, there's many different things to arranged marriages, let's not even start with that, because a lot of, sometimes people don't even want to get married to the people getting married to, and that's a travesty that shouldn't happen, but, you know, in the cases where it's worked and people have been married forever and ever, I think it's because they go in understanding what level of work it is. They also don't go in with this person on a massive pedestal thinking that they have the answers to everything, you know?
Right, and that's why, so, like, I watched the Netflix series Love is Blind, and I was so intrigued, not even, like, okay, I was, like, reality TV, so, like, it was, you know, kind of humorous in some ways, but just the intriguing parts of, like, how you literally have no visual, so you're sitting one person in one room, one person in another, and there's a wall between you, and you're literally talking through the wall, asking genuine, heartfelt questions to learn about each other without ever knowing what they look like. Like, I feel like that's another aspect.
Yeah.
That even plays into masculinity, femininity. Like, if you don't see how I physically am presenting myself, and you're just hearing how I, you know, respond to what you're asking and how I explain myself as a person, mm-hmm. it's going to build a different connection than, you know, you seeing me in sweatpants and a t-shirt instead of a bodycon dress. Like, right. there's just so much that plays into how you build the depth in a relationship.
Yeah, and I actually, one of your episodes that I did listen to, Terrence and Taylor were talking about, and you as well, like, that initial attraction, mm-hmm. You know, and that physical attraction, like, has to be there for certain people, you know? And I totally get, though, I've been attracted to people that I wouldn't say was my type either. And I do,
absolutely.
You know, I do think it's something you can't see it anyway. So, energetically, I think Love is Blind is pretty interesting. I didn't really watch it, but I did hear about it. But I do think it's interesting because so much of who you are, I mean, everything of who you really are is underneath the physical. So
absolutely.
You can be with somebody who's like a 10 out of 10 bombshell, but that's not going to hold its weight forever.
Right.
You know, if they're not lacking somewhere else.
Yeah, it was a big talk. We had like the subconscious versus conscious attraction conversation too, mm-hmm. On our podcast. And it was interesting to kind of think, you know, like, oh, like I totally think that I'm making a conscious decision when I'm attracted to somebody. But in reality, like in the depth of it, it is so much energy and it's so much like you don't have a second to sit there and really think about it. You know, you might sit there and consider, oh, am I going to go say something or not go say something? But prior to that happening, like your mind has already decided that you're attracted to this person, mm-hmm. without you having the depth of thought to it.
Right. Have you ever read or heard about the book Getting the Love You Want?
I have not, actually.
All right. So it's an interesting book. I've only read like a small portion because I am famous for reading like chapter 1 and 2 and then putting it down and never reading it again.
I can say the same.
but this book is about getting the love you want. And basically, it's a book that you can actually read with a partner. And I'm going to spoil alert it right now, but it talks about how we crave the love from people that we didn't get as children in whatever way that looks like for us. So,
right.
you know, we attempt to fill our lives and we're attracted to people who, you know, remind us, I think, in ways of our parents and of people that we had in our lives, which is kind of trippy to think about. But I did start this podcast because people are so pattern oriented and we're all so similar. And I think
right.
that's important to know because then you can really understand why you are attracting what you are attracting to yourself. Like, you know, I'm ready to attract a great partner in my life. I don't want to keep attracting people that, you know, need therapy versus need a partner.
Right.
Exactly. Everybody needs therapy, though. I love therapy.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree.
And then, like, I feel like, honestly, this could be another podcast situation, but, like, just as far as being a woman goes, is a whole nother podcast episode. So maybe I'll
absolutely.
Like, call you on that, and then we can get, like, a couple other women in here, and we can talk on being a woman in general.
Yeah, I love that.
I know.
That's a huge conversation.
I know. I'm never good at, like, figuring out if I want to end it or how I want to end it.
Neither are we, so it's fine. We're always like, okay, should we wrap up? And then we're like, oh, 10 minutes later. Okay, maybe now's a good time.
I know. I'm trying to keep all the episodes, like, under an hour, just because
yeah.
I'm, like, I have a short span of attention.
Yeah, we do the same. And I feel like an hour is a good listening time.
Yeah, totally. I'm trying to think of myself as well. Like, this whole thing, honestly, I'm having a hard time, I think, like, collecting my thoughts on it because this is definitely the biggest thing I'm trying to, like, discover about myself right now and, like, read about and understand more about femininity and, like, watching YouTube videos on, like, embracing your femininity.
Yeah.
And it's, I've learned the theory is, like, femininity is being in your body more. So, like, I tend to live in my throat chakra and above. So, I'm, like, in my head, always thinking, always, you know, yeah, trying to smash goals and, like, do stuff. And
yeah,
then
same. Overthinking more
yeah,
times than not.
Totally, totally overthinking. So, podcasting is great for us.
Right.
No, but, like, femininity, this one woman I was watching talks about how it's, like, entering your body and being in your body and, like, how to bring your femininity out. It's like, wear jewelry, wear rings, wear earrings, which I love to do anyway. And kind of falls into, like, my business. We were talking about doing virtual styling parties, so, like, on Zoom, and we can make it cheap and stuff, but the basis and the reason for doing that is to celebrate beauty in a way that isn't about changing yourself or covering yourself up, but just enhancing and loving yourself and celebrating beauty. And, like, I call it, like, decorating yourself. Like, what the fuck?
Have fun, yeah, you know, I love have that.
Fun with it.
I love that.
But that's awesome that that's feminine, that is a type of, you know, femininity. I'm just not ready to, like, compromise so much of me. It's a new world. You think about, there's never been women this way, you know, before. Like, we're constantly changing. So men get to change as well. But I'm just not interested in compromising, like, how I operate to over-accommodate for, like, a man's, you know, need of... I don't know. Maybe I'm just selfish.
Yeah, I'm not dropping my masculinity in order to meet your desire for femininity. Like, it's like there are people out there that are more feminine than I am, if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like I can discover it within myself to a certain point without shutting out who I am naturally.
Yeah. And this also doesn't mean to say, like, I am extreme. I love, like, trust me, I love, like, feminine clothing. I love, like, lingerie. I love, like, having fun, and I love having somebody else take the lead in many ways, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I'm down to be so feminine. Like, I am very feminine in many ways, but then, like, yeah, if it's time to get to work, it's time to get to work, or it's time to take charge or lead, then I'm gonna lead. And I think that's why I ended up with such, like, an alpha type individual, or what I thought was a very alpha type individual, but I think a true alpha male doesn't feel the need to, you know, downplay their strong, independent woman, in my opinion.
Right.
They'd want to celebrate it. So, hey, guess we'll find them one day, right?
Yeah, you know, somewhere out there.
I know. I gotta work on, like, manifesting that.
It's definitely a lot of, you know, internal learning, and it's, even when you think you've got it, someone comes along and teaches you what you don't have still.
Oh, yeah.
And what you still need to figure out.
Yeah, and the subconscious beliefs that are underneath what you think you think.
Literally. Which is so crazy to even wrap your head around.
So trippy. I went through 8 weeks of hypnotherapy, all about, like, unraveling the subconscious mind. Real trippy stuff, for sure. And it's all true. It's not even like somebody could debate that there's subconscious beliefs that you don't even, you're not aware of.
Right. You know, 100%.
Which is amazing. It was a really cool experience, definitely.
It sounds like it would be. Yeah. Just to know yourself more than you even thought you could, really.
Yeah. I guess, like, do you know what we're going to talk about on the podcast?
I have no idea, but...
Oh, my God.
I'm sure it'll be a little mix of everything. We're pretty good at... Taylor's our segue king. Okay. We call him, so no matter what we're talking about, you know... We usually have, like, an ideas list that we like, branch off of, and he's always good at kind of bridging them all together to get us to the point, so.
Okay. Well, I'm an open book.
As are we.
Totally.
Oh, my God. Safe place for unsafe people, they like to call it, so.
I'm really, like, I actually talked to Taylor about the alarming news of, like, COVID affecting Black people at a higher rate than anybody else. Because I think these are important conversations that people need to hear in a very, like, absolutely, you know, friends talking to friends and be like, yes, this is real life and these are happened. This stuff happens, and balancing, like, you know, not being ignorant to things and contributing in a positive way to the betterment of just, he said it really well, like, the conscious betterment of, like, this whole place. And I'm like, yes, totally.
Right.
Like, I want to know.
As one.
Right. And how to do that in a way that is productive and, feels like, you know, like, friendly. I never want to, I say, I'm not going to overstep. I can't empathize fully. I wasn't born into a situation that you guys are in just based off of skin color alone. We're in a system that has separated that, you know? And I try to just, like, learn as much as I can. And I'm like, it was a cool conversation for sure.
He's intelligent beyond understanding sometimes. He's always got a depth, and he always, you know, kind of presents things in a way that makes you think deeper too, which is awesome. Yeah, it's crazy. I was actually, with the whole coronavirus thing, I was actually watching a video, or a live, I guess, from Tyler Perry the other day, talking about how so much in other countries with coronavirus has been tied to vitamin D deficiency.
Mm.
And how people of any color, you know, any level of melanin in your skin affects the way that your body absorbs vitamin D.
Oh.
So then it was like, you know, be mindful of your, you know, if you can get to your doctors, if you're having troubles, have your levels checked and make sure it's up there, because it directly supports your immune system,
right,
which then causes you, you know, when you're lacking, to be more susceptible to all kinds of things.
And you can take supplements, right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually looked into supplementing, but I would imagine there's certain, you know, dietary things or physical actual supplements you could take that mm-hmm. will boost to that. But
we were talking about how, like, and what's, it's not good by any means, but this really is the, not good, but this is hitting everybody in a way that it's like, it's hitting everybody. It's not hitting nobody. You know what I mean? Like, there's no,
it's unifying even in its negativity.
Right. That's a way better way to say that. But a lot of, like, everyone has to go through education right now and learn, you know, what needs to be done to maintain our health as best as we can to try to not, unfortunately, get this situation.
Right.
It's like I'm in a twilight zone, though, lately. It's been crazy.
It's super crazy. I feel like it goes hand in hand, though, with, you know, it's unifying people in their opportunities to really learn themselves.
Yeah.
Which is hopefully going to have an effect on how everybody comes out of this, because you're, you know,
more
being
self-aware.
The most self-aware is going to benefit everybody around you.
Yeah, make healthy relationships, healthy, like, you know, futures and families and kids and stuff.
Right.
Self-awareness is everything. And it all goes back to God for me. Self-awareness to me is having, like, a relationship to, I use the word God because I know it's heavy and big for people, but
yeah.
I think that it's important to do that because it brings up all these emotions. It immediately makes people face, like, how they feel about the word. But I think, like, God is within you. God is with me, you know, so it's, like, it's, self-awareness is being in a relationship with yourself,
yeah.
which is, in turn, with God.
And it's just so much, I mean, faith-oriented, regardless of what the faith is, like, it's just so grounding to kind of have that root to turn back to and support yourself with without a true, like, dependency, because it is within yourself. So it's a faith, but it's an internal faith. So it's a dependency within oneself rather than an external need.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's another topic.
They're endless.
I know. Look, so why don't we'll like call it a day for today,
yeah.
and then we'll be back chit-chatting literally tomorrow, the next day, which I'm excited about.
Yes, very excited. And then we'll get together again for some female combo with some other counterparts.
No doubt. But I want to say thank you 1,000% for coming on here. I'm going to chop this up and get it rolling.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. And I'll see you soon.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Bye, girl.
Bye.